This is Thrace Relations, a podcast about Spartacus, the television series on Starz Channel. Hello, I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
All right, welcome back to Thrace Relations. We're watching Season Vengeance, and we're discussing Episode 8, Balance.
So, what'd you guys think of the episode?
Oh, it was fucking awesome.
This is definitely one of my favorites of this season. I like it a lot.
I wasn't sure what to expect. I'm not going to lie. It started off different than I thought the direction they were going to go in, and then kind of came back with good. There's a lot of kick to the nuts to several characters, I think. I liked it.
You're laughing at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I looked over at you, and you're laughing when Lucius was killed. I was like...
There's just some funny stuff in it for me, that's all. It'll all come out as we go through the pod.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody want to talk about the fact that it's called balance? I know the word balance was actually brought up by Spartacus a couple of times. Any other?
No, I think it's pretty explanatory. Yeah. Well, not really with the sepia and finding out about her brother. Maybe, you know, you could actually put a little bit into that.
I feel like the balance in the title refers maybe to the balance of enmity between Glaber and Spartacus and what drives each person towards the other and what they're willing to do, as in striking a balance internally, what they're willing to do, how far they're willing to go to get at the other one. And we see how far Glaber is willing to go and what Spartacus is not willing to do. Mm-hmm. So it's a big reveal about both of their characters.
Man,
because I think that there's certain things that the Spartacus camp expected him to do, you know, and he didn't do it. And then I can't really say the same for Glaber, because everybody around him is pretty much a scoundrel, so they'll do anything.
Yeah.
And it shows it's like pure yin and yang, because Glaber will do anything, sacrifice anybody, and Spartacus does the absolute opposite.
All right, well, we'll just start with the recap. The scene opens with Alethea blindfolded and being roughly escorted by Gannicus through a forest. She tries to plead with him by using her pregnancy as a way to try to gain his sympathy. It's not happening. They are soon met with three men who question Gannicus about his and his wife's reason for traveling as such. We find out here through this line of questioning that they are not far from Spartacus. Alethea finds this out as well. Suspicions rise, of course, and Alethea yells out that he is a gladiator, and Gannicus is forced to kill them all. Alethea runs off screaming help. Gannicus bars her way and tells her to shut it. She tries to bargain with him with no success. She now fears he will take her life. He says her life is not for him to take, and he puts a hood over her head.
Before we move on from this scene, I want to say, like, you know, when Gannicus kills these guys and, you know, he says apologies, you know, he apologizes to him because he didn't want to do it. He didn't have to do it. But defending a Roman woman's honor is one thing, and I guess they hold that act in high regard. Mm-hmm. But she tells them, she said, he's a gladiator. And then they just immediately start fighting him. You know what I mean? That's like the equivalent of someone going, he's a champion MMA fighter. And then you take a swing anyway.
It's the numbers game, though. Everybody feels a little tougher when they've got four or five of their
friends.
Yeah, you're
right. Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're going to be hesitant, but
yeah,
you got your boys with you. You just killed a couple deer. It's a manly hour out in the woods.
So Sparty and Mira are hunting in the woods. She made a kill that he claims he could have made. She is doubtful. They are having a good time until Sura's memory is invoked. Gannicus arrives just in time to dispel the awkward moment and offers up Alethea as a way to end Spartacus's vengeance.
Yeah, the bringing up of Sura always puts a really lemony, sour face on Mira. She just, you know.
And Sparty, too. He kind of did the turn away. You know?
Why do you keep making me think of this?
Well.
Poor guy.
It sucks for both of them.
I feel worse for her because he's driven by what he's doing, but she's trying to get in there and be the girl in his life, but it's already been prophesied. He'll never love another woman, mm-mm, and that's just how it is.
Maybe he should tell her about that prophecy.
No, yeah. It'll just make her try harder. She's a go-getter.
Yeah, probably. So we've got Glaber, Lucretia, and Sepia on balcony discussing Alethea's kidnapping. Apparently, Lucretia was honest for once and told Glaber that she had words with Gannicus. She was honest to a point, though. She didn't say why she was...
Well, she said that it was trying to get him to go to cause, though. She's like, I was trying to get him on your side.
Yeah, she wasn't saying she hired him to kill Glaber.
Yeah.
Lucretia is very distraught over Alethea's capture. Glaber seems to be as well. at first, but his concern pales next to Lucretia's. He seems more concerned about his reputation, as usual. Sepia's suggestions that Alethea may be dead belie a wish for it to be true, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And she supports Glaber in his desire of keeping this quiet. Sepia has designs on him. I think we can all agree on that. And Glaber refuses to listen to Lucretia. And Asher walks in announcing to Glaber that his request of erasing all trace of Alethea's kidnapping has been completed. It's funny when Asher walks in because Lucretia has
That look on her face. Yeah.
She's like, oh, God, what now?
Yeah. Ugh. She just hears his voice and she's like, yeah.
Glaber wants a moment with Sepia. Asher warns Lucretia against raising voice to Glaber. And then he calls her my love. Ew. And then now we've got back at the rebel camp, Crixus trains Navia. It is kind of like foreplay.
Yeah, this
kinda
is a pretty
like
good scene.
Foreplay. It was definitely.
You can just see him popping a boner when he gets hit in the face. He gets a big old grin and he's like, yeah, that was my girl.
Then she calls him a god.
Oh, I know. Got a little French kissing.
Animeus tries not to watch.
A little spaghetti.
Well, there's got to be somebody watching in the Spartacus world, or just sex can't happen.
Yeah.
The Germans are training. Spartacus walks in with Alethea in tow, and the rebel generals are in shock of this new development.
Everybody goes quiet. It's like, what the?
And they question Spartacus's intentions. So now we're at the brothel, the one that Gannicus was known to frequent. Asher, Glaber, and company are searching for Gannicus. Glaber is ruthless, and he kills the brothel owner, and he leaves Asher to put the rest to question since no one has been forthcoming.
You wonder if they're killing all these people in there. There's a pretty lengthy scene with all the
flashback of it all.
Yeah, you're like going, are these people all being killed in front of other people to kind of get them to talk? Because it's obviously not working. If nobody knows anything, you can't, I mean.
And just because he's a praetor, does that mean he's above any laws? I mean, he's just going around like slaughtering people.
Yeah, I don't know how he gets away with that. And even at the end of the episode with all the stuff that happened in the streets with the cart.
Well, I think maybe this is also part of the balance in the title, because as Spartacus and his party gains a sort of balanced approach to how they're going to do things, Glaber is losing his balance. He's overstepping his bounds. Just because you're a praetor, you can't slay Roman civilians wantonly like that without any reason, whether they're in a whorehouse or not. If they're not somebody's slave, you can't do that.
And he's not going in there with Roman soldiers. He's going in there with a bunch of thugs. Yeah, so it just makes him look even worse, because they look just, you know,
I mean, how else,
no fucking
like,
good.
I mean, how else could you advertise without using the Roman equivalent of a billboard to saying, I don't have the Senate's approval to do any of this?
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
Well, I don't know. Because when they blew that horn at the end of the episode, I mean, it wasn't just Glaber's men, I'm sure, that heard that. I mean, why?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, there was a whole group of people that came in. You know, but I just think that he's going about it all wrong. He should have just been snatching all those people and taking them in behind closed doors.
So back at the temple on the slopes of Vesuvius, and I was wrong. Vesuvius blew in 79 AD.
So it was already just a bunch of ruins.
It actually blew after.
Oh, so it was after what we're talking about.
After when Vesuvius blew, you know, obviously Pompeii was destroyed, and it was destroyed and then eventually forgotten.
That makes sense, because that's what Gannicus says, I'm taking my wife to Pompeii.
Yeah, and even before, around the time when Glaber invited Sepia to stay with him, she was like, I was going to go stay at my grandfather's villa in Pompeii.
So I guess, obviously, Pompeii wouldn't be around.
So, back at the temple on the slopes of Vesuvius, Spartacus confronts Alethea and is prepared to kill her when she lets the cat out of the bag.
Dope.
Then she tries to hit on him. She's such a weirdo.
I guess she's just desperate.
Use the tools you got.
Yeah, she's just desperate, because that's not a.
She reaches for his hand.
It's not a real bright move.
Uh-uh.
I mean, but I guess you're right. You use what you got, but ill-advised at any rate.
Especially in this situation. I kind of knew it was his kid. I mean, it could still not be his kid. I mean, she is willing to say fucking anything, but it just fits well with the story.
I mean, it's weird how they know, like, they think they know these things, because Lucretia was convinced it was Crixus's kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, but she was also sleeping with Bodiatus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, they were just more, like, in tune with that, because they had to be back then. You didn't have, like, technology like we do to rely on that type of stuff. So, I don't know. Maybe they were just We're in tune with their bodies somehow. I don't know.
Medicus wouldn't be doing any mouth swabs, you know, for the DNA test. What would he use for that? Yeah, just his finger.
Finger,
probably.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Come here, my good finger. Oh, fuck yes, fingernails.
And then he just puts it in his own mouth. No, that's
it. Pee on this for me.
Yeah.
That's not his kid. I can taste it.
Primitive DNA testing at HRS.
I should mention that when her flirting fails to work on him, she puts the fear in his head that his wife would disown him in the afterlife because if he were to kill her, you know, Sura herself would turn from him. And this is actually a big deal in Roman Greek times, the idea of being a kinslayer.
So. That was actually her best tact because it worked.
Yeah.
It worked really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't think Sparty would have done it regardless, though. It just goes against his grain.
Because he's like Rand. He doesn't kill women.
Yeah. Just goes against his grain altogether.
Rand should have killed some women, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Spartacus should kill some women, too.
Yeah. True. I agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Gannicus eats alone among the other rebels. Saxa questions Agron about Gannicus. Animaeus looks at Gannicus with some annoyance.
Do you know who Saxa is?
Nope.
She's the blonde German girl.
She asks Agron, you know.
That's right.
So he was a champion. He's like, I thought you were with Nemetes. She's like, I am for the moment.
Yeah. Right now. Come on.
Gannicus' cock does need to rage on. That's why he's always just like sour right now. He hasn't had any sex. He's not drinking. Poor bastard.
There's no wine or questionable women.
It's like Animaeus is holding his junk. Just give it up, man. It's cool. We shared.
Crixus notices that Gannicus is sitting alone and he sits down with him.
Thank God he's in a better mood. Good Lord. He was smiling the whole episode.
SpaghettiOs.
Oh, yeah. Someone's eating some spaghetti.
Gannicus voices concern regarding his standing with Animaeus. Crixus is pleased with Gannicus. Oh, okay.
Does Crixus not know what's going on between those two? Is he that fucking oblivious? Because he was actually around during it. You figure something would have gone through the grapevine at this point. Like, what's wrong with you two? You know, because he's seen them together.
Does Crixus
best
listen
friends.
To the grapevine? I don't know.
Well, something.
No, when everybody else is gossiping, he's doing push-ups or something like that. You know what I mean? At Shout that time. Him. Yeah, at that
time. He saw them when they left the Ludus. They were like, brother, You know, everything was great. And now they see each other after all this time, and it's like totally away from each other. He's like, you know, he doesn't want to see me. What it'd be like, well, fuck happened?
I think he understands something happened, but he doesn't want to pry. He's trying to be,
he just
you
really
know.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's like, you think you two could be friends? Because if we were all fighting together, that'd be super awesome.
Yeah.
You know, can you make that happen?
Well, I mean, he does notice that there's something wrong. He just doesn't know exactly what it is. He says that he thinks that the capturing of Alethea might help mend things. I don't know why he thinks that would help mend things with Animaeus specifically.
He would have a good, like, column in a newspaper, like, Dear Abby, Dear Crixus. I'd punch him. My girlfriend's seeing another guy. What should I do? Punch him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I've noticed that a lot of your responses to questions are, punch him. He just writes, I'm going to punch you.
Well, I mean, jeez. But, you know, of all the characters on the show, it's worked out for him.
The advice column from Crixus is hilarious. Gannicus approaches Spartacus, wanting a status update on Alethea. Gannicus is mad that Spartacus has not yet killed her. Spartacus says he is not like Glaber and that he will not strike a woman down out of pettiness or revenge. Gannicus asks what of the women who are dying in Spartacus's name. Spartacus does not know how to respond to this.
But he brings up a good point, even if it's a little bit simplistic. Gannicus is basically saying, you're grieved by Glaber because he killed your wife. Kill her. Balance the scales.
Right.
You know, so once again, the title comes in. This would be the balancing. This one act could bring balance to the force. But it really wouldn't. You know, and Spartacus, I think he explains this pretty well. And he doesn't necessarily do it right then and there, but he just kind of says in a nutshell, I'm not going to turn into Glaber to defeat Glaber.
And I think Gannicus bringing up the other women who are dying in his name, you're creating more of an imbalance because now there's more people dying because of you.
And you know Spartacus is, personal keeping tabs vendetta on everything.
Yeah, and there's a larger thing here at stake to that. That's why they're freeing all these slaves and doing it's gaining its own life and its own momentum. It started as vengeance against people who were oppressing them, and now it's grown into something else.
Yes.
So it has to find its own footing, and you know, I think there's that's the beginnings of the conflict between two points of view. Do we do this as a simple act of vengeance, even though the season's titled this, or do we morph it and grow it into something that's bigger than a simple base desire fulfilled? So
use it as momentum.
Yeah. People are getting crucified for it.
Yeah, it has to count for something, you know. And I agree with Spartacus here because, you know, those people who were crucified, that if he just kills Alethea and says, "Man, you know, stick it in the eye of Glaber," and then that's that.
Then they're meaningless.
Exactly.
At that point.
Exactly. They died for nothing.
Tonight, time at the villa, Lucretia and Sepia talk about the gods. Lucretia wants Sepia to write to Varinius,
which is a good move.
Yes.
It would be a good idea. Lucretia's actually full of good ideas this season, if not necessarily for our protagonists, but she actually is thinking pretty clearly.
Sepia still thinks Glaber is the man for her. Lucretia tells her this is beneath her, and Sepia says all what she... Oh, okay. Sepia believes that the gods are working in her favor, and that's why Alethea has been moved out of the house, and she's been moved into Glaber's bed. She thinks to her, it's apparent that things are being maneuvered for her.
Yeah, right as rain.
Yeah. Ugh. Your brother's dead. People are kidnapped.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem real broke up about her brother at this point.
Mm-mm.
Of course, certain events later on in the episode change that, but, you know, at this point, she feels like it's all part of the gods' plan to...
Well, she's getting what she wanted. She's a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
You know?
She's Alethea 15 years ago or however many years ago, so...
Lucius tends to Alethea. Alethea is confused about this or about his alliance. He tells her about how he suffered under Sulla. She attempts bargaining. She seems convincing. I think it's a red herring. They kind of, because when he eventually confronts Glaber later, you're like, what the fuck is he there for?
He's a good actor because I was like, oh, that son of a bitch. He's going to do it for some gold? Really?
She was the one who got fooled in this scene.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So Mira is pissed about Alethea. Spartacus tells her that it was Alethea and not Licinia he had sex with on that fateful night. This makes it clear to Mira that the child may be his. She still presses...
It makes it clear she's something so else, jealous. Too. She's look on her face. She's just like,
that bitch.
Yeah, she's jealous.
I can't believe you fucked her.
Oh. Even though they made you and you helped her dress up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you helped me get all looking like the god Apollo for this. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew what I was doing. It was okay when it was like Kenny, now it's not okay.
You helped rub some gold paint all over me. I mean, come on. And considering what her job was before they escaped, she has no...
Yeah, she can't talk.
Ho hater.
Yeah, she's ho hating, but she needs to look in the mirror at this point.
Yep.
Mira needs to look in the mirror.
Yep. She's afraid she's going to go from ho number one to ho number two.
So she still presses for him to kill her, and he does not want to do something that would be a move Glaber would make, an act which would make his wife turn from him.
It was pretty surprising seeing her say, look, you need to kill her. You know, I figured she would actually be like,
mentioned a couple podcasts ago, or maybe it was the last podcast, that she doesn't have as much compassion as he does. I mean, do you feel like that this kind of
solidifies that?
Accentuates that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But she's turning into quite the badass, so
yeah.
She's a warrior in her own right now.
She is. And she was the one wearing the Diana mask when Licinia picked it out.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And Diana is the goddess of the hunt who had the bow and arrow. So it was totally planned from Blood and Sand that she would, you know, adopt
that's
that
awesome.
Weapon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. The fact that he is worried about how his wife, you know, would feel about it, that you can see this visibly wounds Mira. And this highlights the difference in Spartacus's mind between Sura and Mira. Why did I write that? What did he say? How does this...
He was just really in that mindset. As I don't know if it's right then or not, but you have the flashback and you actually see Sura in his mind. And
is this when he says, "You don't know my heart"? No, that's later.
Yeah, that's later on. That's a little bit later on, not too far. But
I know what love is.
That's not. This is the beginnings, though, of Mira starting to realize that, or maybe not necessarily realizing it, but coming against the hard reality that
she can't fill in.
Yeah, she can't be that girl.
Yeah. Poor and Mira.
If she had met him before, I think she would have had a great chance. But
yep.
She's just going to be number two.
She's just got to make that bow and arrow her man. So Sepia and Glauber are sexing it up. Glauber talks of lost love. He and the God damn it.
She was employing the Glauber grabber.
Her vagina is the Glauber grabber.
In this instance, yeah.
I just think like Glauber grabber.
Come on.
And I was like, oh, vagina.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's what he's talking about.
You're a pig.
Punch him.
I'll punch him.
Glauber talks of his lost love that he and Alethea had shared because Sepia's asking him about it. And she shows her support and appreciation for Glauber. She offers even more support if Alethea dies at Spartacus's hand. So Lucretia talks to Asher in his rat room. We learn of his journey to no end in discovering. Okay, we learn of the fact that he had no results in the whole brothel terror.
It looked like he just fucking slaughtered them. Like, yeah, let's just not waste our time.
Yeah, let's just kill a bunch of people.
Because they were pretty inventive. Each more person was killed a more fucked up way than the next.
The guy had they put a knife up his nose and.
Oh, yeah. Broke that one guy's arm and then stabbed that woman in the mouth with a full sword. Could just line them up one after the other. Just sick fuckers. He just looks like a greaseball.
And then he's acting like he had a hard day at work and his wife's giving him shit. Ungrateful bitch that she is, you know. Like, that's his attitude. Like, after my day of toil, you know, this and that. It's like,
is she only allowed to wear that red wig now? Is that it? Is that the end all? Because I think that's the only thing I've seen her in this whole episode.
I think it's like, in a way, like her slave branding. Like, that's the slave branding that Asher has put upon her. Yeah. Yep.
Her pockets are inside out.
Her cross to bear. So he rapes her again. Ugh. And during the rape, she discovers how to own his ass.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for myself because at the very beginning of this whole thing, I was just like, oh, I kind of like him. I feel for him. God damn it. Fuck.
Well, I think I told you that I felt that way the first time I was watching it. I thought I liked Asher too, so you're not the only person.
Sucks. I liked him better as a cripple.
Spartacus is training and having memories of Sura. I think he's venting, not really training. Lucius enters the training ground, and this is all happening at night. And this is just after Spartacus destroys that post, and they go for a walk because they both got shit on their mind. Gannicus steps outside to talk to Animaeus. Animaeus thinks that the capture of Lethea was a foolish risk, so Crixus is completely wrong.
Fuck.
And Gannicus wants to save others, including his brother Animaeus. And Animaeus says that Gannicus cannot mend their past and that he stands for nothing, as he always has.
Oof. Yeah, he's just not letting up. Mm-hmm. He's not letting this go.
It's hard to, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can imagine. I imagine it would be hard to, but I mean,
Well, even if Gannicus needs to explain to him how the first time happened anyway, that it was forced upon them.
Yeah, I mean.
But how do you know, when you're already dot one, you got two tough guys that don't want to talk about it in the first place anyway. They're both just kind
of
like.
But it could be one of those things, once you start talking about it truthfully, it could just make things worse.
Yeah. Well, I would.
Yeah,
bring
I was forced to fuck her, and then, you know, I kind of liked it. And,
then I came in her.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking bastard. So, you know what? No, fuck Gannicus.
And then I was just hassling her, and she didn't want me to do anything. But every time, you know, I encountered her, I was, you know, giving her my little sad puppy eyes.
Then she said, fuck it, and brought some wine over to the crib, and, you know, we just, then she died. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. You're right. He should just keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Quit kidnapping pregnant women.
See, what had happened was.
So, I was Tater Tot and Agron are getting it on while they're on duty. Such bad boys. and Mira tells them to go to bed, and she'll watch over Alithia. Agron says gratitude, and she's like, no, no, thank you. And she sets herself to purpose and confronts Alithia. And she begins to choke the bitch. And that, I don't know if they did special effects on Alithia's
yeah,
face.
It was awesome.
But, I mean, she looked like her eyes were about to come out and her cheeks were getting swollen. And
she was getting really flush. I mean, it was really awesome. Yeah. I thought she was actually going to kill her. It was like, sweet.
I was hoping you were thinking, I was like, I bet he thinks she's about
to
get
it.
Party, you know, wants her to die. You know, and even though I know she wasn't going to die because I had seen it already, but part of me was hoping maybe.
maybe
this time she'll die. It's like an alternate.
And then old Sparty shows up and fucking pulls her off.
Have you lost mind? Mira says she does this for him, and he says that she does not know his heart.
Yep. That's like the worst
thing. And
her
heart broke.
Yeah. Either one of them, though. Because that's the last thing he wants to hear is that she's killing this woman. For him, you know, because he's totally against that kind of shit.
He brings up a good point, too, that, you know, she's trying to alleviate him of the guilt that he would eventually feel for doing this act that is necessary in everybody's view.
Alleviate him of the guilt and also the crime.
Mm-hmm. And the crime.
She would bear the crime.
Yeah, and he doesn't want her to do that. Yeah. And he's like, oh, and then put it on you? I don't want to do that. So,
which is nice in his, you know.
Yeah, it is. And I don't, you know, because you remember reading The Kindly Ones, right, from Sandman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That same kind of retribution from the Fates, that's what they believe in. Mm-hmm. So it's like a serious crime to kill a kin.
Plus,
so,
it's a coward's way out, too, to have somebody else do what everybody else thinks you're supposed to do. You know, if it was what he was supposed to do, it would have been a coward's way out. Asher would have done that. Well, will you kill her for me? Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Preach. True. So Spartacus wants words with Alithia now. And now we're with Lucretia's walking the villa with determination and pain on her face. The pain of Asher. She approaches Sepia. She has warning for her regarding Glabber. But before she's able to complete her warning, Glabber's men are in search of the praetor. They have come upon a man who has words regarding Alithia. Glabber arrives to question the man, who turns out to be Lucius, and he tells them that Alithia is with Spartacus.
I love the banter between them when he's like, oh, you can help me get my cousins and my family, you dirty cunt. It was like, yes! That was the best line in the whole, like, season so far for
me. And he knew he had immunity, too, because he was like, oh, if you kill me, none of it happens.
Yep. Yeah, it was awesome. So he just got away with it.
So Spartacus announces the success. All right, sorry guys. Okay, Spartacus announces the success of Glabber coming to terms to the rebels. Crixus and Agron are still at odds. I guess I should just say, he announced the terms, and you know now he's starting to get volunteers, and that's where we see Crixus and Agron are still at odds because Agron volunteers himself first, and then Crixus volunteers himself next, despite the company.
Yeah, despite the company, they're just still getting jibes at each other.
Yes. And Gannicus stands in for Animaeus since he is not fit.
Poor Animaeus. You know, it's happened in a few seasons now where they're like, well, you're kind of hurt and old.
Yeah.
So let's not have you fight. You know, it's like, golly. Hey, he's trained all these guys. You know, it's like.
It's like people who can't do teach. So
yeah, right.
Go teach.
You're old.
You just need to sit down. Sit this one out.
Although Crixus could have gone, well, no, it's good because then it'll be champion. Not champion, and then champion. We'll just take Animaeus. Come on. Everybody who's not a champion can come. Or who is a champion can come, you know.
Crixus would totally do that if it was up to him. Raise your hand if you're champion.
We can all go. Everybody else stay here.
Screw you, Agron. You know, champion will
punch your tater tot.
So Mira thinks it's madness to trust Glabber's word.
Oh, when she stood up like that in front of everybody, it was like, she's just asking for it. It's true, though. It's just like, good Lord. It's like the whole episode, she's been at odds with him, though.
You see Spartacus's hand, and he just went,
oh, my God, a powder? I couldn't believe, because he did. He stopped and turned and was like, you know, the one person I shouldn't hear anything from.
He turns around and looks at her, and he's like, what did the five fingers say to the face?
You know what my first wife would have said?
That's a move for the kill there.
All the Germans would have been like, ooh.
Scheiße.
Yeah. Das ist sehr schlecht. Yeah.
How to get shot in the back with an arrow.
But Spartacus actually has a good line there, here, though, in response to what she says, because he says he does not trust Glaber, but he does trust the men who are with him.
That's why he's a better man than I am.
That's why he's better than Glaber.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Well, mainly one of the reasons. So, at the meeting grounds, Glaber arrives with requested cart and yells for Spartacus. And I should say, I just, one of the things I remember about reading the books that when they left Capua, they got their weapons by capturing a cart.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, meeting grounds, Glaber arrives with requested cart and yells for Spartacus. Spartacus and company come out of the woodwork. Spartacus gives Glaber a scrap of Alithia's clothing. You were laughing.
Yes, because I figured out how he really could have fucked Glaber up. Because he was like, oh, it has your wife's scent on it. He should have taken it and the entire way there had it crammed up in his ass or something. You know what I mean? It would have been the best. Like, oh, it smells like your wife. Then he goes to sniff it and been like,
you know what?
Mr. Spennings.
I thought
that's my ass.
I thought you were thinking that and that's why you laughed. When you laughed, I was like, I bet you he's thinking that Spartacus could have done this. He knows
that. Oh, it would have been awesome. Yeah. Like, he would have been like, my wife smells like shit.
It's my ass, motherfucker.
What did you do to her?
You got still part of it up there, so he's like, na 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 na.
It starts changing
magic
colors.
Magic handkerchief.
Yeah.
He's pulling it out of his ear.
Glaber's like, dear Crixus.
Yeah. God totally disrespects me.
I just smell his ass. Punch him.
Should have punched him. I can't do it. It's still not right.
I'll work on it. I'll have it for next time. I'll do an imitation.
Sweet.
It might be barely passable, but it'll be.
You know, if any
passable.
Of our listeners wanted to send in a Dear Crixus, that would be awesome.
Oh, that
too.
Would be cool.
Yeah, send in your Dear Crixus questions. We'll answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll promise not to just say punch him. We'll actually answer them. We'll you know, give you.
Not to all of them.
We'll give you.
Maybe some of them.
Real advice that Crixus would have given.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like this. We'll have to post it on our Twitter.
Okay, so. Glaber is smelling Spartacus's ass, and Glaber then explains how they are different. Spartacus makes it known to Glaber that he turns from nothing. I like that line a lot. He's like, I turn from nothing, motherfucker. I'm still coming after you.
Well, because Glaber's kind of, you know, he figures out that, well, at least Spartacus is telling him that Alithia is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so wait a minute. So you've done things A, B, C, and D. You know, come through hell and high water, done this, that, and the other thing, but you haven't killed my wife. You know, he goes, I didn't think you would turn from that. And he's like, oh, I'm not turning from anything. I will have your life.
He should have just been like, well, if I give you the swords and armor, will you kill her then?
What can I do to facilitate this?
Speed it up.
This
I mean, you've met
along.
Her, right?
I kind of got this other thing going on, you know. Yeah.
Have you killed my wife? No. What is taking you so goddamn long?
Oh, how are you feeling about Liam McIntyre now as Spartacus?
I'm at like 95% love, and I still have the 5% save for... what was the other guy's
Andy
name?
Whitfield.
Andy Whitfield. I just like the way he showed his emotion a little better than... This guy seems more general-like, which he's supposed to be, but it's just that 5% that still likes Whitfield better.
Now, did we notice in the flashback when he's there, they're showing us that him and Alithia had sex, when the mask comes off...
It shows him.
It's the new Spartacus. It's not Andy Whitfield.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty, you know, to I guess for continuity's sake,
yeah.
Just to, you know, because yeah. You don't want to have like.
No, I like him. I mean, I think he's doing a great job. I do still like Whitfield better.
I know you'll eventually love him equally. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And then the only reason why I ask now is because my idea is, or what I think is going on in this season, I might have already said this on a podcast, is that I think they held Liam McIntyre back a little bit and they let everybody else shine a little bit more. You get more of Crixus, Aggron, all the other peripheral characters a little bit more, a lot of Glabber, obviously. But when you get these lines like you do with him saying, I turn from nothing, and some other lines that I mentioned earlier, I think you start to see the Spartacus you're going to see next season.
You know what? I try to look at it as like different doctors in Doctor Who.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't bother me at all.
It's the same person, but you're like, you just see him in a different way, but there's a continuity there. You know what I mean? So this is just the second Spartacus rather than like the 10th or 11th doctor.
Yeah.
You know, that's just that way you can reconcile it in your mind, but.
Yeah, he actually mentioned that on the first episode that Doctor Who gave him training.
The first Spartacus tugged at my heartstrings a little more, but I think that's just because of the storyline itself. You know, I think this guy could have done just as good a job in that first season as Whitfield, but that first season you see so much. You see him go from such a different person that it's hard to go, oh, I like this guy just as much, because he's staying pretty much in that form they've already built for him. You know what I mean? You don't get that heart-wrenching, you know, scene where he pulls his wife out and kisses her. And there's a lot that guy went through in that season. So it's not like there's any dislike. I don't even think any separations, like you said about the doctor, you know, I don't even like think about it, but there is that little piece of me that misses Andy Whitfield.
Really, the overall thing here is that the storyline this season isn't really demanding the emotional range that we saw in the first season anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there are the bits and pieces that come through in each episode, just like in this one, like you said, when he's standing there face to face with Glabber, it's excellent.
And then Glabber's treachery comes out.
Yeah, which they expected, obviously, because they had backup.
Not enough.
No, because Lucius gets it.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I liked him a lot.
But you were laughing.
Because I was still thinking about the doo-doo rag. Oh. I couldn't help it.
This was a cool fight. You know, the cart pulls up and he says, okay, here's your weapons because you got my wife alive. And then obviously the boot to the face of Aggron, you know, and then the fighting starts. But on second watch, the first time I saw this scene, it was pretty cool. It's still a cool scene, but I liked it a little bit less because I felt like Spartacus's crew almost got like beat up.
Yeah, they did get beat up.
And
they were losing.
I just don't buy that this band of thugs that, like, the Egyptian guys are pretty much a badass. You know what I mean? But I don't buy that the rest of these goofy thugs that he got, like the bald tattoo guy and whoever, you know, no name guy that they got there, are going to be a match for Aggron.
Well,
and
they should have brought the other champion with him and left Aggron back at the.
Yeah. I mean, on a good day, any one of those three guys could have taken out all those dudes by himself.
Maybe because they've been fighting Romans who weren't even in their class, that they just got taken off guard. Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah.
You've seen champions in MMA and boxing go from undefeated records
and
then losing just because the wrong time in the wrong place. You know, they catch you off guard, rock your world a little bit. But I agree. I think all three of them having a bad day, it's...
Well, I did like the part where the big Egyptian guy was on Crixus, and then Crixus gets like a 1-2 shot in and just knocks his ass
awesome.
Out. He was like,
ugh. Oh, that was the other thing I was laughing at. Whenever Mira shot at the rat.
Asher,
I was thinking like if it would have been funny if they had him cut just the very tip of his nose
off.
Oh,
yeah, that would have been cool.
Just a humiliating wound that just... looks ridiculous.
And he would have gone home and raped Lucretia.
Yeah.
Look at my face. Look at it.
She's a rapist too, so you can't feel too bad for her.
I know.
Puts the lotion in the basket.
Yes, so Lucius dies sacrificing himself.
It was a cool line, too. At least it wasn't a Roman.
He doesn't even get to finish it, though, because that guy just decapitates him.
Yeah. But I liked him, though. I just like the whole cunt line. I thought it was fucking fantastic. I was like, oh, man, this guy's going to be the messenger every time.
Anybody who gets the best of Glabber like that, you know, it's just a...
Which I like the way they made Glabber look in this episode, too, because he was even more, was it nefarious, you know, because they had him, like, paler skin. His hair seemed a little darker.
He's starting to look a little bit strung out. Yeah. Like, he's so focused on, you know, his ends that...
Because he's got that ring now, the ring of power that he's been carrying around.
His eyes are going to turn yellow, and he's going to get a wrinkly face.
That's, you know, It's all these two care about is killing each other right now. But see, I don't really believe that about Spartacus, so I believe, you know, he thinks about other things.
Great if everybody, like the Romans and Crixus and all them, just threw their swords down, like, all right, look, just y'all get in there and fight it out. Fuck this shit.
Single combat decides this.
Done.
So now we have Lucretius, Sepia, and Glaber. Glaber's wound is being tended to by some unknown medicus when Lucretia confronts him about his failure in the trade. He yells at Lucretia in annoyance, and then Sepia tells him to go bathe, and he will be there soon. Wait.
She'll be there soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
With some wine, you know, ease things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Old-fashioned handy or something.
And Lucretia follows her down into the wine cellar, and that's where she shows Sepia the snake bracelet that used to belong to Sepius.
If that brother. Wine cellar could talk, it sure has seen a lot of big secrets happen. Fuck.
Some wine cellar's going,
Now is the medicus hiding?
Hey.
Your sons of bitches got another medicus. God damn it.
I could tell y'all some shit. That's for sure.
Did you hear something? No. He's hiding in the wine barrel. I can see you through the bunghole. Okay, but yeah, it's awesome. It's a cool scene because she just like lets it drop. I thought she was going to be like,
Yeah.
But trying to tell you.
she's like, smell it.
Yeah. Everybody's smelling stuff this episode. I don't want to smell that. It's bracelet. It's stupid.
It smells like shit.
She's like,
can I smell that?
I could tell you what's wrong.
I think it's Sparky's kid.
BCE DNA.
Okay. She looks pretty shocked and trusting, too, because...
Yeah, going just on that, like, that it doesn't really take much evidence, I
Lucretia
guess.
Plays this scene really well. She's just kind of like, she's like... Here you go.
Her mannerism, Lucy Lawless's mannerisms, whenever like the big, you know, when she's really in her stride for the double, you know, the, what am I, the word I'm looking for? Whenever she's getting somebody to do what she wants, like when she's talking to Alethea or anything, she does it well because she seems very confident in all of her actions, you know,
yes.
The way she walks, everything. It's awesome.
Well, it's part of like getting people to believe you. You have to come off like you believe it.
The confidence.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then,
but in this case, she wasn't even lying, so.
For once.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I don't know how she figured it out. Well, I guess because
just
Asher had that, and, you know, she knows that Asher's like a pack rat and steals stuff from. There's got to be a better. There's a different animal that I'm thinking of. It's not a pack rat.
Crows do that, don't they?
Crows.
Yeah, we talked about crows last episode or the episode before. I can't remember. You had mentioned that.
Yeah, I'd say raccoons, but I like them.
Yeah.
Something,
they're too cute to be Asher.
Something collects things. And...
Yeah, there's some animal that just collects bullshit and keeps it a human.
It's some sort of. Yeah, it's they human.
Dexter's.
Yeah, it's like his blood samples. So
and she, I liked how they end the episode with her in the tub, and he's all like sitting behind her,
she's
and like
brooding,
shit talking, and she just looks like
she has a very Alethea look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Oh.
So actually, the episode ends with Spartacus dragging Alethea around in the woods. He then tells Alethea how Glaber chose vengeance over her life.
Awesome.
He tells her that Glaber does not love her as he loves his own wife.
So killing her would have no import.
And then she says, you let me live? And he says, do not think of it as a kindness.
And what a great way to fuck Glaber right in his ass, have her walk back home.
Yep.
Oh, I loved it. I did. I fucking loved it. It was like, awesome. Now that's thinking.
Next episode is called Monsters.
And why isn't... Lucretia fucking poisoning people's wines. You figure Asher would be drinking some poison ass wine by now.
Well, I mean, what do you think? She really wants Alethea back. You know, I mean.
Well, yeah, but why not kill Asher with some fucking poison wine? It's her MO. You think slowly she would be like, bloop.
I don't know why she doesn't.
I can't really
maybe
think
he's
of a good
maybe
reason.
Maybe he's super careful around her.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he would know about. What would he know about the poison wine?
He knows she's a snake.
Yeah.
Just like he.
He's like, I'll open that bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you drink it first.
Yeah.
How about if we drink it at the same time?
Inconceivable.
She should just put something in her vagina.
I was just thinking that, but what is this?
He just tosses it in his little like pile.
Yeah.
Another thing for my collection.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm keeping it.
I'll let Glabber smell it.
See a little Medica's hand come from behind.
Not pregnant.
I thought you hear him running up in the walls. I think we've got rats.
The Medicus.
So if anybody's got questions for Crixus, please address them to us and we'll answer them in the Ask Crixus column.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.
Sidekick Reviews, is that who it is? No.
Yes, that's the name. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they awesome. Thank you for sending and posting. And I think the Peacekeeper Wars were fantastic too, though. They were awesome, but nothing beats seeing them kiss and then get zapped. And boy, they turn them into tiny little cubes. Oh, if they haven't watched it by now, fuck off. I don't care.
By the way, we're gonna podcast on Farscape next.
Yeah, whenever Spartacus comes to its awesome conclusion, our next project is gonna be Farscape. So if people like listening to us, just know that you have a long, long, long list of episodes to listen to.
But fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be great because it's just awesome. I think we all have different favorites. Who's your favorite character in the show?
Oh, Scorpius, easily.
Scorpius?
By 20 miles.
There has to be just one that you just gravitate the most to.
God, it's so predictable. I think John Crichton, but... I like the lead characters probably more than... I can tell you who I don't like more than I can tell you who I like over
others. Who's your least favorite?
Zan. Me too.
I know.
Zan.
So many people are going to turn against me.
I'm
not going to be... I'm going to try to actually like her.
I liked her all right the first time we watched it. And then we watched it again a couple years later, like 3 or 4 years later. We went through the whole series again. And... she just more often than not got on my nerves.
It'll be nice. It'll be my second time watching it. So it'll be kind of nice to see it again without wondering what's happening.
Yeah. It's even better because I liked watching the I liked watching the relationship develop between John Crichton and Aaron Soon. And there's a lot of quiet moments, even without them speaking, that are really cool.
What was the character that farted all the time?
Rigel.
I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah, Rigel's, I guess, one of my favorite characters.
Dominar, my favorite. Rigel the 16th.
Chunk. I might name Pankins. My next animal.
Yeah.
Rigel.
Mm-hmm. It all depends on what we get.
Then you can call him Dominar.
That's perfect.
Actually, I want to say a little bit more about Sidekick Reviews. They actually commented on our Libertus episode, and they mentioned what an amazing episode that was.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
And thank you for posting. We love hearing anything.
Yes. We love feedback. So please,
much appreciated.
And Sidekick Reviews is on WordPress, and they review shows like... obviously Spartacus they've reviewed in the past, and I actually came across them when I finished Victory, and they wrote a really good, very insightful review. I always read their Breaking Bad reviews. They've reviewed Game of Thrones, movies. I believe they're following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, And then they also post up things like coming up in the fall and stuff
nice.
Like that.
I'll have to check them out.
Their reviews actually aren't super long either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a full commitment. It's actually like nice, short and sweet, good, insightful reviews. And they always write back to you when you write to them.
Awesome.
But thank you, Sidekick Reviews. And hopefully you will follow us on our Farscape podcast as well.
And you guys don't forget about Dear Crixus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dear Crixus.
It's going to be wonderful.